Jerry, would you come on out, please? Jerry and I were talking about this a few moments ago. Now, he and I have been preaching together for a lot of years. All Gloria and I have been in this ministry 40 years. And Jerry joined us just a few years after that. We've been together over 35 years, 37 years. And I told him tonight, I said, Jerry, we have unceasingly for a biblical generation, we have been poking and sticking and slamming and preaching and driving and going. We have been poking at the realm of the Spirit for 40 years without ceasing, without stopping. Something is about to blow. I've got it in me like I have never had it in my life. And I'll tell you, we've seen some pretty explosive stuff. We got into the anointing one night in Hamilton. Was that Hamilton, Ohio? Was that where that was? The power of God hit us. So it drained all the batteries in the microphones. And I had on a battery-operated watch. That watch died, and I never could get it to run again. That's the reason I started wearing gold watches. The anointing will flow through that gold. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, the power of God hits with such force. And we've seen it over the years in a lot of different ways. But I'm telling you, folks, there is something stirring. There's something stirring in the Holy Ghost. There is something stirring in the realm of the Spirit. There are more people alive on this earth, born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, that know how to walk by faith and know how to pray and know how to believe God than ever before in the history of this planet. Amen. And I'm telling you, something is about to blow. Something is about to give in the realm of the Spirit. And it's going to be the most massive outpouring of the power of God that human beings have ever witnessed before. And I believe tonight is a key night in that explosion. I'm expecting something to happen tonight before this thing's over with. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Go for it.
I'm ready.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Stand with me one more time, if you will, and let's pray as we get into the Word tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about tonight's service.
The Word of the Lord just came to me. The Word of the Lord just came to me.
All of the angels are working towards this manifestation that God has had planned, that God has been working on, that all of us, not just Jerry and me, all of us, all of those that have preached the Word in faith, preached it in Holy Ghost power and anointing. Some have just started. Many have preached longer than we have. But all of us together have been headed towards something. We've been going somewhere all this time, and God has been working with us, and God has been showing us, and God has been lighting the way, and He has been in the midst of us, in front of us, behind us, under us, and over us, and He has been preparing something for this generation that is the most overwhelming outpouring of God's presence, God's love, and God's power that human beings have ever seen. And a new breed of spiritual warrior is in the land. A new breed.
Thank you.
A new breed of men and women and children filled with the Holy Ghost that have learned who they are in Christ and have the audacity and have the faith and have the boldness to just step out in what belongs to them and take Ahi Ahababukamaha Ningeleta Bahariki and take the land for the word of the living God and spread the gospel of the kingdom in power and authority, and all the demons of hell are trembling. They know it's here, and they know they can't stop it, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Every minister in here, jump and run right quick. Get up here to the front just as quick as you can. Brother Copeland. Brother Copeland. I don't think we're quite through yet. There's a word of the Lord over these preachers. It needs to be spoken over them. You're in the full-time ministry. Jump and run. Get up here quick. Hola, bakishi probo kora la man. Ronale me kishkiro mundo la bakie probo kara rishi. Sula mongole kishki probo kata. Mandale kishkure desito le tishki probaka.
Heaven has released through the earth to you, every one of you, an increase in all areas. Increase beginning with the anointing to preach. Increase in the anointing for the gifts of the Spirit. Some of you, before the end of the year, will be ministering in areas of the gifts and manifestations of the Holy Ghost that you've never ministered in before.
Thank you.
Increase in the area of your finances. Increase in the area of the miraculous presence of the glory of Almighty God.
Thank you, Father.
And it'll not be because of more effort on your part. It'll not be because you spend longer and more hours working hard in the ministry. No, no. It will be because you increase your word time, your throne time, and you increase your expectancy for God to manifest Himself, and you remember, put it in the forefront of your thinking. Jesus said, keep my commandment. He that loves me keeps my commandment, and my Father will love him, and I love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Be quick to love, slow to anger. And if anger does come, you see to it that, I said, you see to it, saith the Lord, that you don't violate your personal command from the commander in chief of the body of Christ, in whose employment you are. Don't violate it. Under any circumstances, don't violate it. You may have a good excuse to violate the commandment of love. Well, either fix it or ignore it. Just don't do it. Study it. Think about it. Walk in it. Make it the number one priority of your life and ministry. Every time you open my word, saith the Lord, you open it looking for love. Every time you preach on the gifts of the Spirit from this night forward, you keep one hand on the message of the love of God. You preach the gifts in love. You preach the name of Jesus in love. You preach the blood in love. You preach salvation in love. You preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost in love. You preach the gifts of the Spirit in love. You keep love on the front burner at all times. There is your primary endeavor. And as you do so, you may rest assured in me, saith the Lord, that manifestations of my presence beyond your wildest imagination are on the scene. It's ready now. But it is dependent on how much you spend your time in my love and my word concerning the love of God. I will manifest myself to you. And together we'll go, and together we'll travel, and together we'll see the world. We'll see it come to its knees, and we will see great multitudes of people come flowing into the kingdom of God. Oh, Satan's got a lot of stuff stirred up around the world, but it is nowhere near as worldwide as it looks on the media. They are not reporting about the multiplied millions of people that are part of Islam that are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's already happening. It's not something that's going to happen. Why? What do you think's got the devil so stirred up? He is losing on all fronts. He's losing his grips on all of the religions of the world. I am manifesting myself in Islam. I am manifesting myself in all the other religions. I am manifesting myself like I said I would, saith the Lord. And it is causing a stir in hell that they'll never get over. I don't intend to let them get over it, saith the Lord. I don't intend to let the devil ever forget it. I don't intend to ever let him forget who you are and what you are. And if you will listen to me, you will see more results every week than you've seen in your entire lifetime put together. For this is the day of the outpouring. Now I have opened the door, and no devil and no man can shut it. Rise up in faith and charge through it, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands, lift your voice, pray in the Holy Ghost.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, praise
God.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I was shocked. Gloria and I preached in Rome earlier this year. We preached in Bari, Italy last year in a charismatic Catholic ministers conference. And the latest census of the Catholic Church is right now There are 250 million born-again, tongue-talking, charismatic Catholics. The Vatican representative for all of those charismatic Catholics, and there's more of them than that, those are the ones that just answered and have stood up and said, yeah, I'm one of them. And the Vatican representative of that is a good friend of Gloria and mine now. I learned something here a few weeks ago when we were in Rome that thrilled me and shocked me. Shocked me for two reasons. One is because the news media and nobody else has said a word about it. If they did, I sure missed it. Number two, it is a shocking sign of the times. Did you know that the Protestant era is over? There was a council called by Pope John Paul, and he announced publicly with a Lutheran representative present that Martin Luther was correct on all 13 points. That salvation is not by works, it is by grace. And documents, I have copies of the documents. Documents were officiated and on file that there is no more protest. The Protestant, the protesting era is over. We're one again, praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
And there was great and wonderful things that went on between Pope John Paul, that Vatican Council, and the Lutheran Church. What a day we live in. My.
Hallelujah.
Think about that. Isn't that a marvelous thing? God has taken that stroke of strife out. Hallelujah. Now, there's a lot of people that haven't accepted that. And a lot of them are mad about it on both sides. Well, I don't care. The papers have already been signed, so you can get mad if you want to, but it's over. Praise God. The power of the love of God is on the move. Amen. And this is our time. This is our time. And the more we rise up in that love and in the peace preaching, peace bringing message of love, joy and peace. Hallelujah. Hell is trembling at the thought of it. They're losing their grip. Amen. They are losing their grip. Hallelujah. I thank you all to give the Lord a praise.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, glory, 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 glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory, 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 glory.
Thank you, Father. We worship you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you,
Jesus. We worship you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He said, by speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him and all things, which is the head, even Christ. Based on what Brother Copeland just shared with us, it sounds like to me that this is coming to pass in our day.
that we are coming into the unity of the faith. We are about to reach the full stature of the measure of Christ. I believe what the Holy Ghost is telling us, that we're now growing up, and that's preparing us to go up.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what's happening.
Growing up. And there's a fresh anointing. As Brother Copeland has just prophesied to us, a fresh anointing that is coming on those that will not compromise. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that a wise man scales the city and brings down the trusted strongholds. Ask the Lord, what is a wise man in your mind, your eyes? He said, someone who will not compromise. He said, the uncompromising are about to pull down every stronghold that Satan has trusted in.
Praise God.
Every stronghold that Satan has trusted in. Every stronghold that he thought the church would never overcome is coming down. In our day, praise God. Can you say amen?
Hallelujah.
And I'm looking at a bunch of them, praise God, that's going to be a vital part of that. Play a big role in it.
Yeah.
Come on, give the Lord a shout if you receive that.
Praise
amen.
God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Go ahead and return to your seat if you will. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Copeland, for being obedient to the Holy Spirit. I love the prophetic word. I fully intend to have that transcribed just as soon as I get back home. And I'm going to wage a good warfare with it. How about you? Amen. Man, there's more preachers up front here than we used to have people in the meetings. That's an awesome sight. Hallelujah. Yeah, let's give them a good hand. Thank God for those that have committed themselves to preach the uncompromising word. Amen. Before I get into the message that the Lord has impressed upon me to share with you tonight, I want us to take an opportunity to sow into this ministry. At the end of last year, the Spirit of God began to speak to me about increase. He instructed me to write a book entitled Increase God's Way. I had the privilege of preaching a couple of weeks on the Believer's Voice of Victory with Brother Copeland on the subject of increase. And I discovered in my research in the Word several ways that the Bible shows us that increase can come into our lives. I don't want to get into all of them for the sake of time. I'd like to deal with just one of them. And it's one that has been overlooked by and large by most of the body of Christ. The Lord said to me a number of years ago, He called it increase by association. The law of increase by association. That increase can come into one's life if he associates with the right people. In the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 13:20, it said, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise." He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Walking with a wise man creates an association. He said, if you walk with a wise man, you will be wise. Or in other words, if you walk with a wise man, you will increase in wisdom. It goes on to say in another translation that if you associate with the wrong people, just watch, your life will fall apart. Who you associate with has everything to do with your outcome. Who you associate with has everything to do with your future, with your destiny. Let me say it this way. My best friends are not losers. My best friends are not quitters. My best friends are not doubters. Amen. The people that I associate with are winners. The people I associate with, quit's not an option in their life. People I associate with think big, believe big, and get big results. Amen. My spiritual grandfather is Oral Roberts. I sat in his office a number of times across the desk from him. And I love that plaque that's on his desk. No small plans made here. Amen. That inspires you. No small plans made here. Amen. You get around a man like that, and you just are not allowed to think small. He went to Africa with me one year, called and asked me if he could go. I said, Brother Roberts, I've already got an agenda. It is full from morning till night, and I won't have any time to spend with you. Would you consider going the next time I go? He said, well, would you at least pray about it, see if it'd be all right if I go? I said, well, who am I to tell Lord Roberts, no, you can't go? I said, well, you really want to go? He said, yes, I do. And so we flew to Nairobi, Kenya together. And once we arrived in Nairobi, I chartered a plane and we flew to Kakamega, Kenya. Got him in the hotel and I said, Brother Roberts, I've got a full schedule. I'm doing pastor's meetings in the morning. I've got luncheons. I'm breaking ground for some new churches in the afternoon. I'm dedicating some churches we've already built later that day. And then in the evenings, I have open air crusades. It's going to be that way for several days now. And he said, well, that'll be fine. Just when you can be with me, let me know. I said, well, one thing that we're going to be doing while I'm here is I'm going to the government and ask them for some land to build a medical facility on. He said, then I'll go with you. So we're sitting there in front of dignitaries. The vice president of the nation is in the room. The president is on his way. We're sitting in a room with all these dignitaries. Oral Roberts is sitting next to me. And they are addressing us. They're talking to us about how that they appreciate our willingness to come and build this facility. My job was to build it. Brother Roberts had agreed to staff it with doctors and nurses and to equip it with the best equipment that you could possibly get into that nation. And so we're listening, or I'm listening, to these men address us. I notice that Brother Roberts doesn't seem to be paying attention. In fact, he's writing something, and he never looks up. And they just keep talking. So I'm trying to pay attention for both of us. And in a little while, I notice Brother Roberts still has not looked up. And in a few moments, while the vice president of the nation is talking to us, Brother Roberts nudges me on my arm. And he puts a napkin in front of my face and says, do you know what this says? I'm trying to pay attention to the vice president. I said, Brother Roberts, I have no idea what that says. And I look back at the vice president like we're listening. He nudged me again. He said, that's Oral Roberts spelled backwards. I said, are we boring you? He said, yes, as a matter of fact, you are. I said, why? He said, because these people think too small. He said, you're not asking them for enough land. He said, ask them for more land. I said, I feel led of the Lord to have you ask them for more land. I mean, that's just the way he is. You don't think small around him. You don't think small around the Copelands. And I learned a long time ago from the Word of God that if you walk around or you associate with wise men, you will increase in wisdom. If you associate with people who are anointed, you will increase in the anointing. You associate with people who are prosperous, and it'll get on you, praise God. Can you say amen? Amen. There's a wonderful story that relates this in Genesis chapter 30. I won't ask you to turn there, but you might want to look at it when you get home. Genesis chapter 30, it talks about Laban and Jacob. And Laban said to Jacob, I have come to realize, and I'm paraphrasing, I've come to realize that God has blessed me since you came into my life. And Jacob said to him, that is correct. When I came to you, you had little. But since my coming into your life, it has increased greatly. You have been favored with many blessings. Laban recognized this law of increase by association. He had very little when Jacob came into his life. But through that association, and because the anointing that was on Jacob to prosper, it came on Laban. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 1, speaking to his partners in Philippi, He said, you have been with me since the beginning, and you have fellowship with me. You have partnered with me, the Amplified Bible says. You have contributed frequently to my ministry. And because of that, you are now partakers of my grace. He's saying that whatever grace is on me, you're now a partaker of it. Well, if there's one thing I know, besides many other things, that is on Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in this ministry, it is the grace of prosperity. Prosperity. Everybody say prosperity.
Prosperity.
And when you hook up with this ministry, you become a partaker of that grace. Now, Brother Copeland will be talking to you about that in detail tomorrow morning. But it is a law called increase by association. You say, well, I don't know that I really associate with the Copelands. I read their books. I listen to their tapes. I come to the Believers' Convention. That's association. You don't have to have lunch with someone every day to associate with them. You don't have to spend the night in their home to have association with them. The fact that you listen to their tapes and you read their books and you come to the conventions and you watch the Believers' Voice of Victory, you have established an association. And if you want to take it a little further, you sow into their ministry and watch what God will do. You will become a partaker of the same anointing for prosperity that is on them. I'm living proof of it, praise God. I can say when I came into the Copeland's lives, I didn't have very little. I had nothing. Nothing. Everybody say nothing.
Nothing.
The very little I had fell out of the trailer on the way over there. As I was driving to Fort Worth, moving there, it bounced out of the trailer onto Interstate 20. It was nothing but junk. I was so ashamed, I left it in the highway and never went back to pick it up. So when I got to Fort Worth, I had nothing. But I understood the law of increase by association. I'd already been listening to the tapes. They didn't have any books out when I first came, but that came shortly afterwards. And I read the books, and I still read them. I still listen to the tapes. And the increase that I saw come on them, the prosperity that I saw come on their lives through this association began to come on me and my wife and my family. I say like Laban says to Jacob, please, Brother Copeland, don't ever leave me. Laban said, Jacob, please don't leave. I have recognized that ever since you came into my life, things have gotten better. How many of you would like for things to get a whole lot better in your life? Then I want to encourage you tonight to sow the best seed that you can into this ministry and then consider becoming a partner. That's where you do it frequently and consistently. And tap into that anointing for increase. Tap into that anointing for prosperity. Every time, you know, as Jesse said the other day, he's on the board of directors. I've been on the board of directors for many, many years. And when I see the reports and I hear the testimonies, every time they have a major breakthrough, I rejoice with them. And then the next words out of my mouth is, I'm next.
Amen.
I'm next. Amen. Why? Because I am in association. I am a partaker of that grace. So tonight I want you to sow the best seed that you can possibly sow. And tap into that anointing. That's what Elijah did with Elijah. He saw that anointing on his life. He said, I've got to have that. And through that association with him, that anointing came on him and a double portion. Joshua saw an anointing on Moses. While everybody else is out here doing other things, building golden calves, where was Joshua? On the side of that mountain waiting for Moses to come down. Because he knew there was something on this man, and he wanted it on him. And he got it, praise God. Timothy got it from Paul. Praise the Lord. And you can get what is on this ministry through association. So I want you to bow your heads with me right now, and let's pray about the seed that you sow tonight into this ministry. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for spiritual laws. And we know that you would never refer to them as laws if they didn't work all the time. And I know that the law of increase by association works all the time. Obviously, we have to put it to work. And we do so by what we are praying about tonight. We're praying about making an investment. That's what the church at Philippi did with Paul. They made an investment into his ministry. And they continued to invest. And as a result of it, they became partakers of the same grace that was on Paul. Paul was told by Jesus himself that my grace is sufficient for you. No matter what Paul experienced, that grace to deliver him, that grace to get him over, that grace to get him through those tough times manifested time and time again. And it also came on the church at Philippi. There is an awesome grace on this ministry. The grace of increase, the grace of prosperity, the grace of financial breakthroughs. And I believe as the people make an investment tonight, they can expect that same grace to manifest in their lives. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for speaking to each person, revealing to them what you would have them to do, what would be pleasing to you. And we believe that as they do so, that a law is being released in this place tonight and in their lives from this moment forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, would you please stand? And if you're giving by cash and you'd like an offering envelope for a receipt, would you please lift your hand and the ushers will be happy to give you an offering envelope. If you're making out a check, then you know to make it out to Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Keep your hand up high until you receive your offering envelope. And once again, if you're making out a check, you can make it out to Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And then ushers, when you feel that the people are ready to sow, then you go ahead and receive their seed. And we're going to believe God with you that the grace of increase, the grace of supernatural increase, financial prosperity like you've never experienced before, is coming on your life. Praise God. Amen. Ray Jean, would you come and minister to us while they're receiving?
Thank you, Ray Jean. Beautiful. Praise the Lord.
Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for moving among us, touching every life with your power. Thank you for giving me utterance in the Holy Spirit tonight to speak boldly as I ought to speak. We give you praise in advance for all that shall be accomplished. Thank you for confirming your word with signs following. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you open your Bibles to one of the most famous verses in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. You know, sometimes I think we fail to realize that in these conventions that there are a variety of levels of faith, variety of levels of spirituality, maturity. Some folks, this may be their first convention, maybe they just hearing the word of faith for the first time, or maybe just a few weeks, a few months, maybe even a few years. There's a lot of us in here that have been in this for a long, long time. I know the last couple of nights, a number of people have responded to salvation. And so sometimes I think we just assume that everybody already knows what we think they know. And that's not necessarily true. And then there's some that just need to hear it again. Look at your neighbor and say, I think that was you he's talking about. I'm not sure. The Apostle Peter said, as long as I am in this earthly tabernacle, I will not be negligent to stir you up and to remind you of truths that you've already heard and you already know. So for some of you, this may be a truth that you've already heard, you already know. For some, it may sound like a very simple message. For others, it could be very profound. But nevertheless, I know it's what God told me to share, so let's go for it. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 11, and once again, I'm sure you're very familiar with this scripture. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Anybody in here ever heard that verse? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, in the Amplified Bible, it says that you must believe that God exists. You must believe that God exists. Well, obviously, that'd be the first step. But I don't think that's the problem with the majority in here tonight. We all believe, the majority anyway, that God exists. Now, there may have been a time in your life where you doubted that. There may have been a time in your life where you weren't sure. I really can't remember a time in my life that I didn't believe that God exists. From my earliest remembrance, my parents talked to me about God and about Jesus and about the cross and about His death and His resurrection and about Him coming back. And I can't remember a time in my life that I didn't believe that God exists. Now, it was late in life or later in life when I finally invited Jesus to be the Lord of my life. But I did believe that God exists. So I really have never struggled with that. I know there's some people that perhaps have. I know a number of years ago when the Berlin Wall fell, Bill Bozanski and I and a number of other ministries went in there immediately into Russia and Ukraine and began preaching there because Bill had been born in Ukraine and he hadn't been able to go back there during all those years of communism. And we preached in former communist rally halls. And, you know, for 70 years in the Soviet Union, people had been told that there is no God, that God doesn't exist. And so one of the first things that we did was deal with very basic things to show them from the Bible that God does indeed exist. I remember coming home, and then shortly after that, I was asked to come to Budapest, Hungary. And the Berlin Wall had fallen, and, you know, and communism was breaking up and so forth, and I was asked to come to Budapest. I didn't know how many people I'd be preaching to. I knew one pastor and his wife who had come to hear me when I was in Sweden, and they asked me if I would come to Budapest. But when they asked me, I couldn't get in there. But now things had changed. And they asked again, would you come and preach in Budapest? I said, I'd be happy to. So I flew to Budapest. When I arrived there, I asked, where are we doing the meetings? Because prior to the Berlin Wall falling and communism breaking up, they had underground church. They couldn't even announce where they were meeting. And this pastor had been thrown in prison a number of times for being caught preaching the gospel. And so I said, where are we having the meetings? They said, in the sports arena. I said, the sports arena? I said, well, what does this facility hold? They said, 13,000. I said, that's where we're doing our meeting. And he said, yes, and people are ready. I said, well, how have you gotten the word out? Now, I'm asking him this from the airport on the way to the hotel. When we arrived in the city, I found out how they were advertising. In Budapest and many of the European nations, every building, every signpost, every telephone pole becomes a billboard. And I noticed when I was coming into the city area, my picture was on every building, every signpost, every telephone post, and not only mine, but Fats Domino's. Fats was doing a concert there. So me and Fats are in town. Fats and skinny, praise God. Well, I was skinny then, praise the Lord. And I said, stop, let me look at one of those posters. And I went over there and looked at it, and it was in Hungarian, so I couldn't read it. So I asked him, what does this say? And it said in Hungarian, the joy preacher is here. Well, joy was almost non-existent, not only in their lives, but in their vocabulary. And so we got to the hotel, and then shortly after that, we went to the sports arena. And when I arrived there, the media was there. And there was about 20 people from the media and one guy who seemed to be heading it all up, and they wanted to interview me. So we sat in a room, a dressing room, in the sports arena where they did athletic conferences and so forth, or activities, and sat back there and they interviewed me. Of course, I had an interpreter and so forth, and they kept asking the question, how did you get this joy? Where did you find this joy? Why are you so happy? Why do you smile? Why aren't you oppressed like us? And so I'm telling them about Jesus and so forth. And then it came time to go into the meeting. When I walked behind that curtain onto that auditorium, it was packed to capacity with over 13,000 people. I stood there and couldn't hold back the tears when I saw what I saw. And so I walked up to the podium, and the Lord had given me a message. Just simply, He said, I want you to tell them that I am the oppression destroyer. He said, these people have been under oppression for 70 years. They don't know I exist, and they don't know what I can do. So you tell them who I am, tell them I exist, tell them what I can do, and then you just stand back and watch. And I started in the Word, and I preached less than 15 minutes talking about the fact that God does exist and that Jesus is the oppression destroyer. And people literally started jumping out of the second level onto the main floor. They started running to the front. And then once they did, everybody in the auditorium just pressed as close to the front as they possibly could. Everybody in the building answered the invitation. It was amazing. I've got film of this. I mean, it is amazing. So afterwards, they wanted to know about this Holy Ghost. So we had a meeting the next day about the Holy Ghost. And you ought to have seen them talking in tongues. Man, I'm telling you, it was awesome. It was one of the most touching meetings I had ever been in up to that time. And the press came again and said, we want to interview you again. I said, well, we've already done that. They say, we didn't understand a word you said, but last night we all got saved. Now we understand and we can write it better. You know, praise the Lord. Amen. So for a group like that, the first thing you had to prove to them was that God does exist. Now, I don't think that's a problem with the majority of the people that are in here tonight. There may be a few, but the majority of the people in here tonight already believe that God exists. So I don't want to deal with that. Notice he says, he that comes to God must believe that he is. Everybody say, God is.
God is.
What I want to deal with is what he is. You must believe that God is. Even though the Amplified Bible says that you must believe that God exists, I personally believe that what you and I are to get out of this is that we must believe that he is everything that we need him to be. The God we serve is everything that we need him to be. Say this with me. God is.
God is.
Everything. I need him to be. In other words, no matter what our need might be, our God is capable of becoming whatever that need demands. I believe that what we're reading here and what I'm saying to you is possibly the number one fundamental principle for developing real Bible kind of faith. You must believe that God is, that he is everything that you need him to be. In Exodus chapter 3, if you'll turn there with me for a moment, Exodus chapter 3, you're familiar with this story. In verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Everybody say that. I am that I am. Now notice when Moses said, what do I say? Who do I tell them sent me? God said, tell them, I am that I am have sent you. Now the Amplified Bible says it this way. I am who I am and what I am, and I will be what I will be. I am what I am. I am who I am, and I will be what I will be. What is he saying? I am capable of being anything and everything that you need me to be. Moses, what do you need for me to be? I can be that. You need a healer? I can heal. You need a deliverer? I can deliver. You need finances? I'm a provider. Anything and everything that you and I need God to be, He is saying, I am who I am what I am, and I will be what I will be. In other words, I'm capable of being whatever you need me to be. He went on to say in verse 15 from the Amplified Version, this is my name forever, and by this name I am to be remembered in all generations. This is my name forever, and I am to be remembered by this name to all generations. He was I am in Moses' day, and thank God He is I am in our day. Can you say amen? God is telling us that just as He was I am to Moses, He is I am to you and me. He is everything that we need Him to be. There are several times in the Old Testament, I won't list them all, but I'll give you a few. Several times in the Old Testament where we find God referring to Himself as I am. In Genesis 15:1, I am thy shield. Genesis 17:1, I am the Almighty God. Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Deuteronomy 5:6, I am the Lord thy God which brought you out of the house of bondage. Isaiah 43:3, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Isaiah 48:12, I am the first, I also am the last. Isaiah 48:17, I am the Lord thy God which teacheth thee to profit. Isaiah 51:12, I am he that comforteth thee. Jeremiah 3:12, I am merciful. Jeremiah 9:24, I'm the Lord which exercises loving kindness. What is God saying? Whatever you need, I got you covered. Amen. Whatever you need me to be, I have got you covered. In the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible tells us that Jesus was the express image of God. Jesus said Himself, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we shouldn't think it strange when Jesus says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. John 10:9, I am the door. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. John 14:6, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. What is Jesus telling us? I got you covered. Amen. I have got you covered. Now notice once again, it is very clear that if you're going to develop Bible kind of faith, then you must have a revelation of who God is. He is everything that you and I need Him to be. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, He approaches a man by the name of Abraham and says these words, I am Almighty God. I am Almighty God. In the Hebrew, that is El Shaddai. And it literally means the God in whom nothing is impossible. What He's saying to Abraham is that I am capable of being everything you need me to be. I'm capable of doing anything you need done. He's literally telling Abraham, I'll be your father, I'll be your mother, I'll be your brother, I'll be your sister, I'll be your neighbor, I'll be your friend, I'll be your provider, I'll be your financier, I'll be your healer, I'll be your guide, I'll be your total source of supply. Hallelujah. And He said, remember, that's my name, and I want it remembered in every generation. You and I serve a God today in whom nothing is impossible. He even said to Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 18:14, is there anything too hard for the Lord? What is He saying? Nothing is too big for Him. No need is too great for Him. He's the Almighty God. He's the ever-present God. He's the all-knowing God. He's the all-sufficient God. And He's the Most High God. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 52:6, the Amplified Bible says, and my people shall know what my name is and what it means. My people shall know what my name is and what it means. What is He saying? I want my people to know that when they speak my name, They need to understand that within that name and within my character and within my nature is the ability to meet any and every need they will ever be faced with. Amen. So what is your need tonight? Has it got you staying up all night? Has it got you worrying every day? Has it got you on the verge of giving up? Then you need a revelation of who God is. It's impossible to please Him without faith. And he that cometh to God must believe that He is. This is the foundation for real Bible faith, is you must have a revelation of who God is. He said to Abraham, whatever you need, I will be that for you. He's saying to you and me, whatever you need, I will be that for you. The name God, in its truest sense, expresses essential deity. In its truest sense, the name God expresses essential deity. And the word deity literally means supreme being or superior being. That's who our God is. He is the supreme being. He is the superior being. And that means that every need that you and I will ever have in our lives is subordinate to Him. If He's superior and He's supreme, then no need could ever be greater than the God we serve. Can you say amen? But isn't it amazing how needs keep us up all night? Isn't it amazing how needs rob us of our joy? Isn't it amazing how needs put us under pressure? Could it be that if we're up all night worrying, if we're on the verge of giving up, if we're always under pressure, not knowing if we can continue to stand, could it be that we need a fresh revelation of who God is? Can you say amen? Look at your neighbor and say, I go for that. I receive that in Jesus' name. Amen? He is supreme. He is superior. Subordinate, or every need that we have is subordinate to Him. And the word subordinate simply means lower in rank. Lower in rank. Amen. You need healing? It's lower in rank than our God. You need finances? They're lower in rank than our God. Amen. You need restoration in your life? It is lower in rank than our God. It could never be greater than the God we serve. If your need ever becomes greater than the God you serve, then God is not supreme and superior. But listen, that's the reason He's called Most High. You can't get any higher than Most High. Can you say amen? Come on, give Him a shout tonight if you believe it. This is what Paul was talking about in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. He says, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. What is he saying? Everything on this planet is subordinate to the God we serve. Paul went on to say that he might have the preeminence. He's number one. He's higher. He's supreme. He's superior. The Message translation for this same verse says, He was supreme in the beginning, and He will be supreme at the end. From beginning to end, He's there. And He towers far above everything. Amen. He towers far above everything. You know, I love it when you read Paul's description of Jesus. Do you ever notice all the adjectives that he uses? Far above, more excellent. And then when you get to Satan, it's reduced to zero. Amen. Satan's been reduced to zero, but our God is more excellent. Far better, much higher, far above, hallelujah. Why? Because He's God. He's our God. This simply means that everything must bow to His awesome authority. And that includes every need in your life today. Say this with me. My God has unlimited power. My God has unlimited authority. And my God has unlimited ability. That's the God you serve, praise God. That's why it takes so many names in the Bible to reveal just how awesome He is. You know, you just can't seem to cover it all with one name. Every name that is revealed in the Bible reveals something else about the nature of God, the character of God, and the ability of God. And that's the reason the Bible is full of names that are associated with God, because He's just so awesome. Of the 150 Psalms, David wrote 73 of them. And in most of them, he writes about the things that he discovered God to be during his time of need. One example is Psalm 18:2. It says this, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." Notice in one verse, David gives God seven symbolic names. My rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength, my rock, or my buckler, my shield, my horn of salvation, my high tower. All in one verse. And notice he doesn't say God is a rock, a fortress, a deliverer. Oh, there are some earlier Psalms where he used the word "a," but by the time we get to Psalm 18, it's "my." You know, there was a time in my life where I said God is a deliverer, God is a rock, God is a provider, but it wasn't long I got acquainted with Him and He became my rock, my fortress, my provider, hallelujah. In other words, what David is saying is, I'm talking to you from personal experience. I have discovered that in my time of need, no matter what my need is, that my God can be whatever I need Him to be. I needed a rock, He became a rock. I needed a fortress, He became my fortress. I needed a deliverer, He became my deliverer. I needed strength, He became my strength. I needed a shield, He became my shield. I needed a horn of salvation, He became my horn of salvation. I needed a high tower, and there was God, my high tower. Hallelujah. Amen? He that cometh to God must believe that He is. He's everything that you need Him to be. When David said, my rock, my fortress, he's talking about personal experience. You know, it's one thing, as I said, to refer to God as a deliverer, a rock. But brother, when He becomes my rock and my deliverer, now you're talking about personal experiences. Paul once wrote in 2 Timothy 1:12 in the Amplified Bible, "For I know, and I perceive, and I have knowledge of, and I am acquainted with Him in whom I have believed." Notice what he says. I know Him. I have knowledge of Him. And I am acquainted with the One in whom I have believed. That's why Paul could boldly declare in Philippians 4:19 that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Notice there was no reservation in that, no hesitation. You know, he didn't stutter when he said it. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When you use the phrase "my God," it denotes personal experience. I can say to you tonight, my God supplies all my need. My God heals my body. My God brings restoration when I need it. He's the great I am. No need is too great for the God that you and I serve. In Revelation 22:13, it says, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." When I read that, it sounds like to me that he's saying, I cover it all. Whatever you need, I got it covered. You simply cannot come up with a need that Alpha Omega doesn't cover. You can't come up with a need beginning and end doesn't cover. What do you need today? Do you need healing in your body? He says, "I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee." Are you weary? He's the rock in a weary land. Are you in the valley? He is the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the honey in the rock. Are you thirsty spiritually? He's the cup that runs over. Are you comfortless? He's the rod and the staff that comfort. Are you in darkness today? He's the bright and morning star. Hallelujah. He is everything you need Him to be. Somebody shout, my God is.
My God is.
Every everything I need Him to be. Psalm 130, verse 7 and 8 says, let Israel, or all of God's people, hope in the Lord. You see, when you know who God is, it produces great hope. It produces strong, unwavering faith. I like to say it this way, let God's people hope in Him, and He will be to them whatever they need Him to be. It's amazing how God has the unique ability to fit into every man's life, no matter what your background is, no matter where you were born, no matter where you grew up, no matter what your occupation is. God has the unique ability to fit into your life. Not only that, He is so much. God is so much that He reveals in His Word that every man, no matter who they are, what they do, and what they are, has the ability to relate to Him. Let me give you a few examples. If there's an architect in here tonight, he's the chief cornerstone. If there's a baker in here tonight, he's the living bread. If there's a banker in here tonight, he's the unsearchable riches. Is there a biologist here? He's life. To the builder, he's the sure foundation. To the doctor, he's the great physician. To the educator, he's the superb teacher. To the farmer, he's the Lord of the harvest. To the florist, he's the Rose of Sharon. To the geologist, he's the Rock of Ages. Hallelujah. He's everything you need Him to be. Come on, give Him a shout tonight. Praise God. Maybe there's a jeweler in here tonight. He's the precious stone. Maybe there's a lawyer here present tonight. He's the advocate and the counselor. What about the media? Anybody from the media? He's the good news and glad tidings. Hallelujah. Is there a philosopher among us? He's wisdom. To the potter, he's the vessel of honor. To the sailor, he's the master of the sea. To the soldier, he's the captain of our salvation. Hallelujah. Come on, give Him a shout tonight. Hallelujah. He's everything we need Him to be. To the politician, to the statesman, He's the desire of all nations. To the thirsty, He's the water of life. To the unclean, He's the fountain of cleansing. To the weak, He is strength and He is power. What is it that you need today? Everything you could possibly need, your God is. Hallelujah. Come on, give Him a shout of praise if you believe it. John 1:14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What do you suppose? Not only because of His mission to redeem mankind, to destroy the works of the devil, but you know, you can touch flesh. Did you notice in His teachings, He related to people? He talked about sowing and reaping to those who were farmers. He talked about fishing to those who made their livelihood from fishing. He was made flesh. Why? So that every man could relate to Him and He could relate to every man. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. He is everything that you and I need Him to be. Is anything too hard for our God? Amen. He's El Shaddai. He's Elohim. He's the great physician. Jehovah Jireh. Oh, hallelujah. What do you need tonight? He's got you covered. Why are you allowing the devil to keep you up all night, worrying all night, fretting all night, and on the verge of giving up when He's everything that you need Him to be? Can you say amen? Now, obviously, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You know, I remember when I first got a hold of this through Brother Copeland's ministry, and I began studying the Bible. I had 7 tapes from Kenneth Copeland on reel to reel. That was 14 messages, a message on each side. Brother Copeland was introducing me to the Bible. I knew nothing. I'd get to that first tape and he'd say, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. I'd turn that tape off until I found Ephesians chapter 1. Then Brother Copeland started reading a few verses and they didn't make comments. I didn't understand any of it. So I shut him down, reversed him, made him say it again. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And there were times when I had to shut him down, reverse him, you know, 10, 12, 15 times until I got it. I mean, I was so scripturally illiterate, as Brother Copeland says, that I went in and told Carolyn after I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for the very first time. I said, Carolyn, did you know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote the same story? She said, is that all you've got in 2 weeks of studying the Bible? She laid her hands on my forehead and said, Lord bless him. Get on back in there. Get on back in there. You'll learn something. I said, Lord, I thought I got a revelation here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote the same story. I said, how come you to have them do that? He said, I knew you wouldn't get it in one.
Oh, no.
Don't laugh. Some of you ain't got it yet. Huh? I'm ashamed to tell some of this. When I was in college, I used to scuba dive. My roommate and I used to scuba dive. And I came across a verse that said, he healed them of divers diseases. I went in there and I said, Carolyn, did you know there were scuba divers in Bible days? She said, what? I said, there were scuba divers in Bible days. Jesus healed them of those divers diseases. She said, get on back in there, you'll learn something. And then I found one about divers temptations, and I'd had a few of them. Amen. You know, going out there and diving alone and all that kind of thing, divers temptations. I didn't know what divers meant in the Bible. Don't look at me so holy. Some of you just found out that wasn't scuba divers he was talking about. Amen. I didn't know anything. But boy, I got in there and I locked myself in that room and listened to those tapes and studied the Word over and over and over and over until I came out with a revelation of who God is. Brother Copeland came and preached again in our city. And man, I had gotten a good grip on this healing business. I'm telling you, I just knew that I knew that I knew that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. And I had a revelation and my days of sickness and disease were over. Man, that just came strong in my spirit. Satan tried to make me sick. It wouldn't last 30 minutes. Or at least it wouldn't last the whole day. Brother Copeland came and he's preaching again. And I had an opportunity to talk to him. I said, Brother Copeland, I got a grip on this healing business. Man, I'm telling you, I'm learning how to live in divine health. I know how to do that. He said, that's great. What's your question? I said, well, my problem is I'm having a hard time figuring out how you get God to meet your needs financially. I thought there was some kind of special thing you had to say, you know, you had to do. I said, how do you talk him into meeting your needs financially? First thing he told me was, God's already done everything he's going to do about your finances. I said, you've got to be kidding. He said, no, what I mean, the same Jesus that bore those stripes that you might be healed, he was also made to be poor that you might be made rich.
Amen.
He said, now, how did you get so strong in your faith where healing was concerned? I said, because I've read all those healing scriptures. I've studied everything in the Bible about healing. He said, are you saying to me faith came by hearing and hearing by the Word? I said, yes. That's exactly what happened. I spent so much time studying the healing stories and the healing scriptures that faith came. Amen.
Amen.
And I got to the place where I believed that I could walk in divine health, that sickness and disease had no authority over me, praise God. He said, well, what do you suppose would happen if you did the same thing with all the scriptures in the Bible that have to deal with God meeting your needs and financial prosperity? I said, well, faith would come by hearing and hearing by the Word. And that's exactly what happened. Amen. You see, there was a time when I only knew God as the great physician. I didn't know Him as the great provider.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
I knew Him as the great physician. See, some of you in here tonight, you may know Him as the great physician, but you don't know Him very well as the great provider. Or maybe you know him as, you know, Savior. And that's wonderful. Know him as Savior. But you don't know him as baptizer in the Holy Ghost. You see, every name of God reveals something else about God's nature, attributes, and ability. Amen. And the more you study the names of God, the more insight you're going to have into what He is capable of being and how He can be it in your time of need. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So I submit to you tonight that he that cometh to God must believe that He is. He is what? He is everything you need Him to be. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Every head bowed for just a moment. If you are here tonight and you don't know this God that we're talking about, you don't know this Jesus that we're referring to tonight, and particularly on a personal level, maybe you know of Him, you know about Him, but you don't know Him like we're talking about tonight. Paul said, I not only know Him, I'm not only acquainted with Him, but He's my God. That's the kind of relationship that God wants you to have. That you not only know about Him and you know of Him, but He becomes your God. And if you're here tonight and you say, Brother Jerry, I want to know this God like you're referring to tonight. I want to know Him as my God. I want to know this God intimately and personally like you're talking about. I want to have that real Bible kind of faith that dares to believe that God is everything that I need Him to be. Well, it all begins by receiving Jesus as the Lord of your life. If you've never done that, it doesn't take a whole lot other than being willing to believe in your heart that He is the Son of God, believing in your heart that He died for you, and believing in your heart God raised Him from the dead so that you might be saved. If you're here tonight and you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, maybe you already know Him as Savior, but you don't know Him as baptizer in the Holy Ghost, there is no reason why you have to leave here tonight not having had that experience. It is a valid New Testament experience. The Bible says that you shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. This could be the night that your Christianity, if you're already saved, this could be the night that your Christianity takes a new leap, so to speak. And you begin to tap into the power of God in your life like you've never known before. There may be others that say, Brother Jerry, I've known the Lord. I've prayed the sinner's prayer, but I've gotten away from God. I've allowed some distractions in my life. If I had truly known that God is everything I need Him to be, I probably wouldn't have turned from Him. I probably wouldn't have given up under pressure. And I can't say with all honesty tonight that I'm right where I need to be with God. Well, I just want you to know, you may have left Him, but He promises that He will never leave you nor forsake you. In fact, the Bible even teaches us that He is forever married to the backslider. He's not willing to let you go. So if you're here tonight and you can identify with any of those invitations, you want Jesus to become your Lord, you want to recommit your life to God, you want restoration in your life, you want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask everybody to stand at this time, and those of you that can identify with the invitation, either one of them, I want you to stand along with everyone else and just make your way to the front right now. God wants to show you that He can be anything you need Him to be. He can be your Savior. He can be the one who restores your life. And He can be the one who baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. Come on, make your way to the front. If you want to identify with either one of those invitations, come on right now. This is your night. God is going to show you that He is everything that you need Him to be. Come on, folks, let's continue to thank God for them. Let's thank God for them. Come on, don't wait on anybody else. Don't hesitate. This is your night. Your night to find out that God can be everything that you need Him to be. You need a Savior? He can be your Savior. Come on, everybody, sing it out. I surrender all. Come on, sing it again. Sing it out loud. People are still making decisions. Our God is. Come on, we'll wait on you. Keep coming. We'll wait on you. This is your night. Sing it again. I surrender all. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. Stretch your hands out toward these folks. Those of you that have come forward, I want you to lift your hands. I want you to repeat this after me. Pray this prayer. The Holy Spirit will be present to act on these words that come out of your mouth and out of your heart. Say it out loud. In the name of Jesus, tonight I do surrender my all. I surrender to Jesus. I invite Jesus to come into my life, to not only be my Savior, but to be my Lord. I believe I'm forgiven because of what He did at Calvary. I believe He died for me. He was raised for me that I might be saved. And because I believe this, the Bible promises me that I will receive my salvation. I say boldly with my mouth, unashamedly, in front of this congregation, I am saved. I am born again. I am a new creature. My life will never be the same. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me, making me brand new. I ask you now to fill me with the Holy Spirit, just like on the day of Pentecost. Just like in the book of Acts. And I believe, I receive. I believe the Holy Spirit is indwelling me now. And He will give me a new heavenly language. I have been given utterance by the Holy Spirit to speak in new tongues. And I believe that as I do, it will become my heavenly language. In the name of Jesus, I declare from this moment forward, I will never be the same. Now begin to praise Him. Praise God. Come on, begin to praise Him. Lift your hands. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now stop the English and just allow the Holy Spirit to take over right now. Just lift your hands. It's in there. It wants to come out. Just lift your hands. Come on, everybody that speaks in the Holy Spirit, you have a heavenly language. Speak it out right now. Help them. Assist them. Inspire them. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. That's good. Yeah, that's it. That's good. There it is. Yes, hallelujah. Come on, some of you guys lay your hands on them. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's continue to pray in the Holy Spirit for a moment. Yeah, that's it. That's wonderful. Yes, yes, yes. That's Him. That's the Holy Spirit. Go ahead.
Este bremanda baradiste. In the name of Jesus. Esibro boca telebacasto. Romo ne meste bromanda. Mandele que este brabaca talabaca. O se brabaquita le mande. Yes. Esita le mangum brebeca. Oh, hallelujah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Ele basumbre mendele veque. Oh, sabraba de leva standende. Come on, make some joy with it now. Let it flow. Let it flow. Ah, sabara. Esedimo. Oh, remande. Alabato brebaca sebrade. In the name. Alema sombre baca. Oh, sabara. Ada, ada. Amo anso onda. Yeah. Ha, ha. Sebre badele vo costa brebede. Oh, hallelujah. Asa, yeah, that's good. That's good. Sebre bada. Woo, that's good. Manda nanna sinde. Este braba core bate. Hey, se baba da mandore de sinde. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, somebody shout unto God. Hallelujah. That's good. Praise God. You ought to see the tears and the smiles that I'm looking at up here. Praise God. Come on, give them a good hand. Their life is changing. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn to your right right now. Turn to your right. Look at the man with the Bible in his hand waving. Follow him. Go in there for a few moments. They got something they want to bless you with. They're going to pray with you a little further. It'll be an awesome time. Come on, give them a good hand as they go. Thank you, Lord. One last thing the Lord's impressed upon me to do is this. I heard it in my spirit earlier this afternoon. I heard it again tonight, particularly when I spoke about God being our deliverer. Any person in here tonight, in any kind of bondage, addiction, drugs, pornography, sexual perversion, any kind of addiction, whether street drugs are prescribed, you're addicted. God wants to prove to you tonight that He is all you need Him to be. He is your deliverer. Get up here very quickly. Just come as fast as you can. Come on. This is your night for deliverance in the name of Jesus. Come on, don't be ashamed. The shame would be God offering you help and you miss out on it. Come on, right now. Come up here as fast as you can. God wants to deliver you. He wants you to know that He is your deliverer. Hallelujah. Show them, God. Show them, God, that you are the great deliverer. Hallelujah. I break the power of that addiction. 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 I break the power of that addiction in the name of Jesus. I break the power of this addiction. I break the power of this addiction in the name of Jesus. I break the power of this addiction. Come on, let's lift our voices and shout unto God. He is your deliverer. He is. I break the power of this addiction. I break the power of this addiction. I break the power of this addiction. I break the power of this addiction in the name of Jesus. I command you to be free. That is broken now. In the name of Jesus. Come on, shout unto God, somebody. He is. He is our deliverer. I break the power of that addiction. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of these addictions. I break the power of that addiction. I break the power of that addiction. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of this addiction over your life in Jesus' name. I break the power
of this addiction. I break the power of this addiction. I break the power of this addiction in the name of Jesus. I break the power of that addiction. I break the power of this addiction in the name of Jesus. I break the power of this addiction over your life. I break the power of that addiction in the name of Jesus. I break the power of that addiction. I break the power of this addiction in the name of Jesus. I break the power of this addiction in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's shout unto God, somebody. I break the power of this addiction. I break the power in Jesus' name of this addiction. I break the power of this addiction in the name of Jesus. I break the power of this addiction. Oh, hallelujah. I break the power of this addiction. Come on, lift your voices and shout unto God. Hallelujah. Free at last, free at last. Free at last. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Once and for all. This is not going to come on you again. Free. At last. Woo, hallelujah. Come on, shout unto God, somebody. Hallelujah. Our God is everything we need Him to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Reach over there and lay your hands on somebody next to you. Say this out loud. Whatever your need is tonight, the God I serve is greater. The God I serve is everything you need Him to be. I lay my hands upon you as an administrator of His power. I believe it's flowing in you now to set you free. To bring deliverance, to bring healing, to bring comfort, to bring peace. I decree by faith, you're free. The Son has made you free. You're free indeed. Give Him a shout, hallelujah.